Our next speaker this morning is E.J. McMahon, my colleague from the Empire Center and part of the Manhattan Institute. E.J.
Thank you, Howard. Good morning. Thank you. I will briefly use some statistics here to summarize and create a New York context for some of the remarks that Ron has just made. They will really only scratch the surface, but I think they'll help to illustrate the magnitude of the change in welfare dependency in general across New York in the past 10 years. But I'd like to begin with a brief political observation. You may have noticed that it's sort of like the dog that did not bark and the hound of the Baskervilles. We're completing a gubernatorial campaign, a campaign in which we have two very capable, issue-oriented, smart candidates running, albeit a lopsided one. We know that both of these men are very, very knowledgeable about issues and have no shortage of ideas about how to improve state government. I think it's safe to say we have not heard one word about the subject of this forum during that campaign. And what that speaks to is the extent to which the federal legislation succeeded in, to a large extent, in creating a new political consensus. Now, does such a consensus actually exist in New York? Is the debate over? The answer I would suggest is no, it's not so much over as it is suspended. But it is striking, especially if you think back to your own experience or look back in the record or in an index of New York Times or newspaper stories and see how much time and effort and newsprint was consumed by the debate over welfare in years past and how little it is discussed now. It's really quite remarkable. As you know, the modern welfare state, the modern American welfare entitlement state in its previous form, was to a great extent invented here in New York. The postmodern, if you will, workfare state was not really invented in New York. In fact, New York was a laggard in coming around to adopt its own legislation implementing the 1996 Federal Act. And I think it's safe to say that if states had been given a clean up-down option on whether to conform at all or not, New York would have been one of a small number of states that would not have conformed or would not have changed. Certainly, there was not so much a political consensus as a sort of a collapse, exhausted collapse into doing the bill that was necessary to do in 1997. And that bill is among the most liberal, if not the most liberal in the country in terms of how it treats the continuance of welfare entitlements after the expiration period in the federal law. Notwithstanding all that, notwithstanding the fact that the legislature never really came together in the way that Congress did, as described in Ron Haskins' excellent book, welfare reform in New York has produced some startling changes. And this may be testimony as much as anything to the title of another book by one of our speakers, Larry Mead. That title was Government Matters. And in this case, the government that mattered was at the welfare district level, principally New York City, where the Giuliani administration was very committed to this brand of welfare reform and in many counties across the state, and at the state level, where Governor Pataki shared that commitment. And so notwithstanding the fact that New York was not exactly a hotbed of red-hot welfare reformers in the sense that Washington was on both sides of the aisle, there have been dramatic changes. So let's look at those changes. I'm going to look at general caseload numbers as expressed in number of welfare recipients, of people receiving, in this case, TANF, AFDC TANF. These are the 10 most populous states, and as you can see, the first decade of welfare reform, 1995 average through 2005 average, New York, the number of recipients in New York of federal cash assistance dropped by 74%, and that was the fourth highest among the 10 most populous states and above the average for the U.S. as a whole, which was 67% during that period. That's startling. That is not necessarily, if one had simply watched the political process in Albany, you might not have thought that we would rank like that or have a number that large. This is the New York counterpart to one of the slides in Ron's presentation with a little bit more detail on the differing types of cash assistance that now exist under our law. As you can see, the number of public assistance recipients defined in my case here as AFDC TANF or Home Relief Safety Net, et cetera, peaked in 1994 at over 1.6 million people, dropped very sharply after the enactment of the Federal Welfare Reform Act, and is now at its lowest point on the federal side since 1961, which is really remarkable. I mean, if you track, there was a point at which New York had more than 10% of all of the cash assistance welfare cases in the country. And we've actually reduced our share also. Also, as I know many of the people in this room are aware, we've now at the point where over half of the people receiving cash assistance in New York State are actually on the state and locally funded safety net and individual programs that are not part of the federal TANF program. By the way, we may not have mentioned this, all of the PowerPoint presentations here will be posted online and available for downloading within a couple of days, the complete PowerPoints by all the presenters who have PowerPoints. This is the numbers for the state, for the city, for New York City, and breaking out the rest of the state. The state as a whole down 62%. The city down a little more, 63% was the leader. We all know the city is over two-thirds of the caseload, no matter how you slice it, and the rest of the state was somewhat lower number. Here's the county-by-county reduction. The darker the shading, the larger the reduction in the number of recipients. So as you can see, there are two counties there. Delaware County and Otsego County reduced the number of recipients receiving TANF and safety net and other assistance by 83%. Those two counties have a combined population of over 100,000 and now have only a few hundred people receiving cash assistance, which is the virtual disappearance of cash assistance in those counties and close to it in many others. The pattern, as you can see it, well, is not necessarily a straight pattern that you can correlate in any strict way. Some upstate rural counties reduced recipients by a lot, some didn't. Most urban counties outside New York City did not do nearly as well as New York City. Monroe County, for example, up there, but Erie did better than Monroe. So these are interesting numbers, and I think they raise some questions for the future about analyzing different manners of implementation and levels of commitment and different approaches to implementing TANF and the state's Welfare Reform Act. These are some details, which I'll just gloss over now. These are all the counties with their numbers. These are the counties that were above average. The statewide average is also just about the median, so it's about the same number. Those are the counties that are above average in terms of the number of recipients declining on the caseload. And then this is below average. Erie actually was really close to the average. It could go on either side of the mark. And there you see at the bottom there, below one half, and Chemung, Monroe County. Now, it's an interesting observation that I think is driven home very strongly in Ron Haskins' book, is that welfare reform as we know it now really took off for two reasons. One was the election of a Democratic president who had pledged to end welfare as we know it. The other, among many other things, was the fact that Republicans in Congress and in national life stopped focusing almost exclusively on the cost of welfare and started focusing on whether welfare was working and how to do better for poor children and poor families. They began to suspend judgment on how much can we save and began to debate it in terms of how can we make this better? What's a better way to do this? Once they stopped obsessing over money, the interesting thing is that money was saved. However, it depends, and I know that Robert Doerr will get to this, it depends on whether you look in terms of direct expenditures or indirect in terms of different programs. But this is one side of the equation that I'm showing here, and I'm going to close just with this one side. The one side, which is direct cash assistance, the classic welfare portion of the state budget, state-funded, no federal funds, just the state budget, in the first year there, 1995, happens to be the baseline also of when Pataki took office, and then the projection for the current fiscal year. $1.2 billion less is now being spent on direct cash assistance. You're going to hear some explanation of how that much or perhaps more is being spent on other types of assistance to the working poor. I do know, for instance, almost half of that $1.2 billion is being spent now on an expanded state EITC. But it is interesting, as we find in so many areas of life, that once you stop trying too hard for one particular objective and switch to another, you end up realizing the original objective after all. And in a way, we did, as that slide shows. And so that's the conclusion of my portion. Again, there's much beneath the surface of the statistics that I've just reviewed, but I think that they give you some general context of what the nature or the dimension of the change has been in New York. Thank you.